Hi there. Welcome to the Agency Toolkit Podcast, a podcast where we discuss stories, strategies, and techniques to help you build a successful and profitable digital marketing agency. Our episodes contain inspiring conversations with CEOs and entrepreneurs and leave you with actionable tips, ideas, and strategies you can implement into your business today. We are happy to have you with us. So grab a cup of coffee, sit back, and get inspired.
Hello, and thank you for tuning into another episode of the Agency Toolkit. I am your host, Julia McLaughlin. This episode is sponsored by ReviewRobin, a review management software for marketing agencies to help you guys get your clients more positive reviews. You can check that out at getreviewrobin.com. Now, my guest today is Bob Bentz, who is the president of the mobile-first marketing agency Purple Gator, which specializes in recruitment, specifically recruiting for truck drivers, nurses, warehouse workers, and college students. Bob started his career in the television industry, in the television advertising business. He then began Advanced Telecom Services, a company that grew from a startup to $62.2 million in annual sales and offices in five international countries. Today, we're going to be discussing Bob's journey as an entrepreneur and what he's learned along the way. Thanks so much for joining us today, Bob.
Thanks for having me, Julia.
So let's dive into a couple questions so our listeners can get to know you a little bit. So what really motivates you as an entrepreneur?
I've had a nice thing in my career in that I've never been laid off. I've always had a job. That's been an important part of being an entrepreneur. But most importantly, really, is just to see, you know, how the employees have grown. You see them grow both professionally and personally as they're here. And I'm one who never gets upset if someone leaves the company for the right reason, because that's just all part of the growth process as well. So mm-hmm. I think that's been the most rewarding thing, is knowing that you've helped create jobs for people and hopefully, jobs and personal improvement for them.
Awesome. Well, I'd love to learn a little bit more about your story of starting Purple Gator. So why did you decide to start Purple Gator?
Well, you mentioned in the intro that I started a telecom company back in 1989 that's still active today in its 33rd year with mm-hmm. international offices in five countries. Unfortunately, what has happened in the telecom industry over the years is this darn thing called the internet came along, and suddenly the old telecom methods of delivering phone calls became somewhat antiquated. So it became very obvious in the 2010s that, you know, I was going to have to diversify, because the things that you used to be able to get, for instance, about 16 cents a minute for a phone call, we're now down to getting about a quarter of a penny per phone call. And it's just, you know, technology has taken the place of the old telecom ways of delivering. So, I had gained some experience along the way of online marketing, and it just seemed like a natural progression to open up our own mobile marketing, mobile first agency.
Interesting. And then, so what really sets you guys apart from other agencies out there?
Well, you know, everyone needs to have a niche when you're in digital marketing and traditional marketing as well. People want to work with agencies that have had experience in particular areas.
Yes.
And it's often, you know, you kind of fall into these things. It isn't like you wake up one day and say, you know, we're going to be in this particular niche. Usually you have some success in a particular niche. And then it's the best way to expand your business is to exploit that niche and get more customers in the same vertical market. For us, early on, we learned that there was a real problem with recruiting truck drivers, that truck drivers were starting to age out, and Gen Z and millennials, with their greater emphasis on work-life balance, mm-hmm. were not signing up to be truck drivers as much as baby boomers were. There's a real need in that particular category, and we worked with a few customers, got some good success stories in that. And we've expanded that business to bring on some pretty major companies around the country, such as AutoZone, AutoVitel, and Papa John's Pizza. So, you know, that's been a nice niche for us, and we consider ourselves to be experts in that particular category now.
Interesting. That's really great. And then, so what would you say are some challenges that you encounter on a day-to-day basis, and how do you overcome those?
Yeah, well, the most recent challenges in our industry have been some of the targeting that was previously available has been taken away or reduced. So that, I think, has been the biggest challenge here in the last couple of years. You know, it used to be you could go on Facebook and they had such a wealth of data on everybody that we could, you know, really pinpoint target the very best audience. And hence the name of my book, Relevance Raises Response. You know, getting your message in front of those people that are most likely to buy your product or be interested in your service. Well, that's become more difficult over the years as consumers have made a desire for more privacy online. And that's kind of been the biggest challenge for us in recent years. We've had to subscribe to a lot more third-party data sources, encourage our customers to be a lot more savvy on their first-party data that they have, and then set up situations where we're acquiring second-party data as well, which are often through trades from one organization to another that helps us still pinpoint that audience that's most likely to need these services.
Very interesting. That's really interesting. So I'd love to pivot a little bit now and talk about what sales looks like within your agency. So how are you bringing in more leads to your agency and then closing more sales?
Yeah, it's you know, a constant struggle to get more leads. You know, any small company, any small business, probably the thing that they neglect is their own B2B marketing, even when that's your business, like an agency.
Yes.
Because, you know, we get so busy serving our customers that sometimes, you know, we don't spend as much time on the B2B marketing and the lead gen as we should. But, you know, we do a lot of things. Obviously, there's SEO on the website, there's pay-per-click. And, you know, there's certainly we know how to advertise online to get new customers. But
yep.
When it comes down to it, you know, people always say when you ask them what's your best source of leads, they always say word of mouth. And there's no question that that's the case. You know, we're always talking to our salespeople and, you know, no matter how good a salesperson is, the one thing that they almost always fail to do is to ask existing customers for other leads. So
yes.
We try and encourage that, and we more recently have brought in a new program because, you know, sales, especially in a small company, everybody needs to be involved in it. It's mm-hmm. not just the salespeople that are involved in it. So we've actually brought in an incentive for other employees to recommend customers to us. These might be friends and family, friends of their parents that own businesses or whatever it might be. And we built in a financial incentive that if we're able to close those deals, you know, they get a nice bonus.
Oh, that's really interesting. And then did you have to implement any kind of sales training within your team to roll that out or not really?
Well, I think there's always, you know, you always can perfect your art more when you're on the sales side. So, yeah, we definitely have ongoing training with our sales team. You know, there's webinars that we attend. There's newsletters that we subscribe to. So, you know, it's just like a sport. You know, if you don't keep practicing it, you're never going to keep improving. And things have changed over the years. You know, when I got my start in my career, when you called somebody, they usually answered the phone, mm-hmm. and they don't anymore.
Nope.
So it's become a lot more difficult to get people on a cold call. Mm-hmm. And get them to get their attention. So we have to get their attention other ways. And it's really, you know, the buzzword today, an omni-channel approach mm-hmm. to getting them so they've heard of you and they're more likely to take your call. One thing that I have noticed is since we branded the company as Purple Gator, which is kind of an interesting name, I've heard from the sales team that people are more likely to pick up the phone when they see the caller ID as Purple Gator. So that's been a nice little benefit, just out of curiosity. I mean, who the heck is this person calling me, right? So they pick up the phone, they're more likely to talk to us.
Yeah, well, just having that icebreaker is a big step in just opening up that conversation with a lead. So that's really interesting. Okay. Mm-hmm. So with cold calling, so how have you, you know, developed any tips of ways to help build trust early on in the conversation with a lead?
Well, I think when you're able to toss out national brands like we've been able to, you know, some of the truck driver recruitment customers that we work with, like Papa John's, AutoZone, you know, FedEx, when you can throw out those kind of names, it's kind of instant credibility. And, nice. You know, as a smaller brand, when you hear those names, you know, that I think helps us engage them and get them to take our call and listen to our story.
Absolutely. Yep. I 100% agree. And then, so how do you guys maintain really happy clients?
You know, I think service is so important in this business. A lot of what we do is under the hood. It's behind the scenes, especially when it's a search engine optimization or a pay-per-click campaign. Mm-hmm. You know, the average person doesn't really know what's going on. And if you don't have regular monthly review meetings with the customer, you know, inevitably when that business has a tough month, the first place they look to cut is marketing. So by justifying our existence every month in those monthly meetings, that's become really important. And making sure that they know that we're spending a lot of time behind the scenes on their account. And mm-hmm. they can't always see it. They can't always touch it. But giving them the statistics and showing them the additional traffic that they're getting to their website or their additional leads that they're getting for applicants for new jobs, that's really important. And I think that's in part of the reason why we have a good retention rate with our customers.
Very interesting. So have there been any specific tips that you guys have implemented that you've noticed have been really helpful with regards to client retention?
Well, yeah, I mean, to reiterate, those monthly meetings are really important. And, you know, just staying in touch with the customer, you know, we often send them articles that we might read in their niche. You know, we subscribe to the, you know, Google notices in different vertical markets that we're involved in. So it isn't always, you know, when the salesperson reaches out to them, it isn't always attempting to get them to buy something else.
Yeah.
But just to keep them informed and let them know that, you know, we're not as expert as they are in their market, but we're not far behind. Because we're constantly reading more in your industry and we're keeping you abreast of some articles that you might not have seen yourself.
Interesting. So yeah, you're just trying to educate them and just add additional value and kind of go above and beyond for them on a regular basis.
Absolutely.
Very good. So what would you say has been the biggest overall challenge that you've had to overcome while growing your agency?
You know, the hardest thing is getting that first client in any niche. And once you get the first client, then your strategy changes and you're trying to get more clients in that same vertical market. But there are many times where you talk to, especially on the government business that we pitch, you know, they'll often say, well, you need to have 3 to 5 clients in this vertical market. Well, you know, how do you get your first one if you've never had one, if that's a requirement? It's kind of like, you know, when I graduated college, everyone said, well, you know, you have to have 2 years experience. Well, how could I do that? I was in school.
Right? Yeah.
So the same thing here is, you know, getting that first client, getting someone to take a chance on you when you don't have a track record in that vertical market, I would say is the biggest challenge. So you have to convince them that you can do it. And you know that you have to invest in marketing materials that may never materialize for you, because you may never be successful in that market. But you know, you have to spend some time to be able to speak their language and use some of the buzzwords that they use in their industry to let them know that you're worth taking a chance on. You have new innovative ideas, and you shouldn't just keep doing the same thing that you've done, because that's the way it's always been done.
Right, right. So how do you nurture those relationships with someone, with a prospect? What does that process look like for you?
Well, we use SharpSpring as our way of nurturing relationships via email, a series of 7 to 10 emails that go to any new prospect periodically. You know, the last thing that you want to do is to send an email to a prospect and say, hey, have you given this more thought? Are you ready to work with us? I mean, that's not going to give them any incentive to come to work with your agency. So continually sending them more solutions to their pain points through this chain of 7 to 10 emails that we set up in different vertical markets has been really helpful. And you never know which of those emails is going to hit their hot button. But you know, one day they may get this information and that's exactly what their problem is. And you know, you get the return message.
Interesting. All right. Well, so do you have any tips for being more efficient and productive in your day to day?
Yeah, make a to-do list. You know, I do this every day, and you know, you get to the end of the day and you get a little discouraged sometimes because, you know, there's interruptions and client needs and that kind of thing, and you don't get as many things done as possible. But, you know, you have to find time to do the larger scale projects, especially in small companies. You know, you can't, you know, necessarily outsource that, or you don't have anyone dedicated to technology, things like that. So, you know, we've encouraged employees to block off, you know, a 4-hour period each week where they can work on some of these long-term projects.
Oh, that's a good idea.
I have found that as the week goes on, you know, my days get easier on Friday than they are on Monday. So I try and do that on Friday, read up on the industry, work on some of those projects that require less interruptions, and, you know, get those things done with a deadline that everyone has.
Yeah. And is there any software that you would recommend that has helped boost productivity for either yourself or your team?
Yes. You know, there's a lot of balls flying at you when you're an agency. You know, you have multiple products for multiple customers, and it's hard to keep it all straight. We started using Monday.com earlier this year, and that helps us very much in terms of the to-do list that everyone needs to do. And it enables the sales and marketing people to go in and check and see the status of what their work is, so they don't have to keep interrupting the creative types and saying, you know, where does this project stand? So that's really helped our efficiency. And again, it's one of those things that takes some time to set up. So, you know, you need to carve out time in your day to get it set up in the first place, and then get the rest of the staff to buy in and be trained on it. So that all takes some time. You know, you have to get everyone using it. If they're not all using it, it's really never going to be that effective.
Yeah, absolutely. Are there any other systems that have been helpful for helping streamline your agency or your operations?
You know, the chat features are also important. You know, we're a little old school in that we still use Skype to talk to each other all day, because we went remote during COVID, and quite frankly, it worked out well. Employees liked it more. They had significant savings and not having gas costs not having to eat out lunch every day and that kind of thing. So employees loved it. You know, saved them an hour each day. And the great thing for us is it's also enabled us to hire remotely. Whereas your pool of potential candidates used to be just whoever was willing to commute into your office location, I'm in Philadelphia, and the last hire we made is in Arizona. So it really doesn't matter anymore where people live. That's really helped us to find the right people who can fit.
Yeah. So I'd love to talk a little bit about your culture, how you would describe your culture at Purple Gator, and how you keep your employees happy and help boost that employee retention rate.
I think, there's some things that large companies can do better than small companies. There's no denying that. Mm-hmm. When you have hundreds of people, someone goes on vacation, you don't really miss them so much. When you're a small business, you really miss them. There are some things that, we can do better than larger companies. For instance, this past year, for the first time in the 3 decades I've run my own company, we implemented a very generous maternity and paternity plan. Employees can now leave for up to 3 months on a maternity leave with full pay. So things like this that, we can do, and that puts us right up there. I looked at, some of the other people in our industry, that's the same plan that Twitter has. For us as a small company to be able to offer that, something is, equivalent to what Twitter can offer, I'm quite proud of that. And, I didn't do it because, I thought it was going to draw more employees to the company. I did it because it was the right thing to do. The United States has been behind Europe for years on these type of benefits, and I thought it was something that we should implement. So things like that we can put in, we get use of our credit card. Sometimes you get points, that might be used for airline flights or for gift cards and that kind of thing. So we try and reward employees with those kind of things. I encouraged one employee the last time we were giving $200 gift cards to all the employees, and he chose two for Home Depot. And I said, no, you're going to have one for Home Depot. You're going to get another for a restaurant and take your wife out to dinner. So, so that we can reward the partners as well, who have to put up with some of the things that, their partners have to go through in our work.
Absolutely. So where do you see Purple Gator in 5 years' time?
Yeah, we've been blessed here since the vaccines came out. I mean, it was a tough year, when COVID hit. A lot of businesses pulled back on their marketing and their spend. So that was tough. But, what's come out of it is really this niche of recruitment, which doesn't seem to be going away. Seems like there's a lot more available jobs than there are qualified employees to fill them. What we plan to do is to move more and more into this niche that we've, carved out a nice role in, and start offering more and more services in that niche of recruitment. Instead of just generating leads, for our clients, we're going to start nurturing them more and actually going through some of the HR processes. Because what we're hearing over and over from our customers is, we're so busy, we don't even have time to interview these people. So if we can take it to the next step and start to, fulfill some of those chores and jobs that they don't have time to do right now, we think that's going to help grow our business and help us sell more things to the same group of customers.
Yeah, so interesting. Well, we're getting ready to wrap up here shortly, but first we have the Fast Five, which are 5 rapid fire questions.
Oh my gosh, and I didn't even prepare for this. So I hope I pass.
That's okay. So what's a book you've read that's made an impact on you?
Oh, the best book I've ever read is called Relevance Raises Response, How to Engage and Acquire with Mobile Marketing. And it's written by yours truly.
Awesome. Yes, I will definitely put a link to that in the description. And what does your morning routine look like?
Oh, I wish I were a morning person, you know, and I fought this my whole life because everybody says, you know, people that are morning people instead of evening people are more successful. I'm always going to be a night person, and I've just learned to accept that. So, you know, I try to get into my office, which is now my upstairs, I'm not commuting anymore, an hour before everybody else, so that I can prepare, get my list together of what I'm going to do that day, and then hopefully, you know, quit at a reasonable time so I can make it to the gym and, you know, walk my dogs and do the fun stuff at night.
Got it. Very good. And is there a CEO that you follow or study?
You know, one of my heroes is someone who's been a bit of a controversial figure, but I've always admired Ted Turner. You know, Ted Turner, in addition to being incredibly successful in media, he is very passionate about the environment, which I am also.
Yes.
He's very passionate about animals, which I am. And he's also very passionate, having been the owner of the Atlanta Braves, he's very passionate about baseball, which is one of my other loves. So
he would be
my hero in terms of business.
That's awesome. And what is your favorite online tool?
Semrush. Semrush is something that you can use to really improve the SEO value of your website. I've used it for many years, and I'm passionate about search engine optimization. I like it almost as much as baseball.
Amazing. And last question, what's one thing you wish you had known when you began your career?
Be a specialist. You know, there's a lot of people that are good generalists and know a lot about a lot of things. If you're a specialist, you know, you'll really have something that not everybody else has. So become a specialist in a particular niche.
I love that. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Bob. It was a pleasure learning about your story and how you've grown Purple Gator, and I really appreciate you joining me.
Thank you, Julia.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Agency Toolkit. We hope you've learned something new that you can implement into your agency today. If you liked this episode, please subscribe to our podcast, and we'll see you next time.